The Allies then entered Paris at the end of March 1814, which was followed by Napoleon's abdication and his comfortable exile first to the island of Elba in the Mediterranean. Negotiating with Prince Talleyrand, who now was switching sides, the Allies wisely agreed on a non-punitive treaty for France. Even though nationalism was being born during this age, it was not yet an age of complete nationalism. The aristocratic monarchies did not have to worry about public opinion when they restored France to what it was, and in fact even allowed it to have some of its early conquests. King Louis XVIII was placed on the throne, but he accepted a charter guaranteeing shared governance and many of the most important gains of the revolution. And of course, this is what is so important about keeping those gains all the way throughout, even with a monarchical restoration. The clock could not be simply turned back. In this first phase, France kept the early territorial gains of 1792, which is known as its natural frontiers. However, eluding the British, secretly, Napoleon made a dramatic return to France. Incredibly, the army sent to subdue him when he landed melted in front of him, including marshals who embraced him when they were supposed to arrest him. The person's magnetism and charisma must have been extraordinary. But more overwhelmingly outnumbered, Napoleon was defeated on June the 18th, 1815, at Waterloo, outside of Brussels, packed off this time to hard exile on St. Helena in the South Atlantic, and apparently poisoned 6 years later in 1821. Louis XVIII returned to France, now stripped of all of its territorial gains, but staying whole, and the French overwhelmingly were mostly glad to finally be at peace. And so was the rest of Europe. At peace, the Allies reached an intelligent post-war settlement at the Congress of Vienna. However, Europe would never be the same again. A number of revolutionary changes were maintained in France and even in some parts of Germany and elsewhere. Constitutional and national ways of thinking could not be erased, even if they could be temporarily suppressed. At the same time, parallel to what was going on in France, more subtle, slower changes had begun to take place in England from the 1760s on, the early phase of what's known as the First British Industrial Revolution. And by 1815, this change in England was advancing more quickly, and it would soon spread to the continent as well, certainly by the 1830s in Belgium first, and then in France, and then in other parts of Germany and northern Italy, and several parts of the Austrian Empire, Bohemia and Moravia, Czechoslovakia, essentially. In other words, by the time that the Napoleonic reign was ended, but still the impact of the French Revolution was being felt everywhere, the fuller impact of the British Industrial Revolution joined it to be the midwives of modern European history for the rest of the 19th century and indeed thereafter. And so in our next set of comments, we will turn to the second major and even more massive development in human history, the First Industrial Revolution. Thank you.